Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
We are in need of repentance, a change of direction. That's John's message. And that's a decision that we must make that produces a change in our life and thinking. Basically, it's more than just saying, I'm sorry, I'm feeling bad. It's acknowledging you're wrong. And not just doing that, but turning now and following Christ, taking His way of thinking, saying, your way is right, help me, and following Him. That's repentance.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In the Bible, we're told to choose this day whom you will serve. Will you choose to serve yourself, your own fleshly desires? Will you follow your own understanding? All of these options lead to destruction. Or will you choose to follow God? Will you allow Him to work in and through you? Doing so will bring blessing. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message today. I want to share our contact information with you as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3 verse 7 as we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled, Have You Decided to Follow Jesus?
I wonder how many don't think the wrath of God is going to come upon them. For one reason or other, maybe they just choose not to believe in it. They say, you know, God is loving. I read that. God is love. Now, would love do that? Send someone to hell? No. Because you're on your way to hell, what love would do is rescue you. Show you a way so you can avoid hell. Because you're going to hell. So it's not that you were going to heaven, and if you disobey, He's going to throw you in hell. It's that you're going to hell. And He sends out a lifeline. There's one way. Jesus Christ. See, it's not that God sends anyone to hell. It's that we choose to go by rejecting Him. If somebody, you're drowning in water, if somebody were to throw you a rope, and say, grab onto it. I'll pull you out. What would you do? Go, I don't like ropes. What's the material of the rope made of? I have allergies to certain ropes. You wouldn't think that way. You would thank God that somebody threw the rope out to you, that you could grab onto it. And really, because you're so wore out, you're not even climbing the rope. They're pulling you in. You would thank God for that. That's what Jesus has done. Think about the insanity of Jesus coming and dying on the cross as an option. You know, let me come down from heaven, take on the form of a human being. We already mentioned a few weeks ago that would be like us turning into maggots. And so He comes down and He lives and dies, is loathed, is spit upon, is beat by His creation, sinful men. And then He dies on the cross. Of course, He's resurrected and beyond that, but He endures that punishment and that pain. I'm going to do that as just another option. What if I just want to meditate, go out to the mountains and do that? You know, I died for you. I gave my whole life so that could be an option. But if you just want to go on the mountain and meditate, I'll take that. I don't think so. What He did was drastic because the penalty was drastic. And there is only one way. I don't want to be narrow. I'm not making up a religion. You know, I like options. We love options. But unfortunately, I guess fortunately, depending on how you look at it, unfortunately for those who want other ways, there's one way. But if you have the right heart, if you understand there was no way, and now there is a way, that's fortunately there is a way. It's through Jesus Christ. He doesn't make you crawl for miles and miles and miles on your knee to some church or to some saint. You just come to Him. You come to Him and He will receive you. He will love you because He is love. And he will begin a work in your life to draw you out of that pit that you were in, that you didn't realize you were in. And your life will begin to change. He does that work. Oh, how many don't think the wrath of God is coming. They say he's loving. Or they'll say, you know, I'm not that bad. So I don't think God would do that to me. But we just read in our Joshua study, there was a man named Achan. All Achan did was take some of the items that God said, don't take anything. Achan took a few things, hid them, stored them away. You know what his punishment was? Death. You did what God said not to do. How about Uzzah? When the ark was being moved by King David. Now, King David issued the command, we're going to move the ark on this cart, violating everything in every way God said to move the ark. But we're going to move the ark, and Uzzah's walking and working with, well, he's trying to serve God too, bringing the ark back where it should be. He's serving the king, and the oxen stumble, and the ark falls, and he just wants to steady it. He loves God, and he wants to keep the ark upright. He puts his hand on it, and God kills him. Why? Well, God had already established the rules. You don't touch the ark. You don't touch it. If it fell, it wasn't Uzzah's fault. King David made that decision. So, yes, God will punish and judge and pour out his wrath on even someone who thinks mine's not so bad, because we've seen it done. We've seen that that's his character. But you never have to experience that judgment, because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die, that you can know him and follow him and forever be transformed. It makes me so sad when people think that judgment will not come upon them because they think they're good. Jesus is the Lamb of God. I want you to think about, from the very beginning, when God established a sacrifice that would be acceptable to him. He said, I want you to bring a lamb that is totally without spot. It has to be perfect, without blemish. There could be no defect on this lamb. Search it and search it thoroughly. And that lamb only will I accept. And that will only appease, because they had to do it every year. So with that standard by God, do you measure up? Any spot or blemish? Hey, we put spots and blemish on our own bodies. We defile ourselves. We get ourselves into situations. We're far from perfect. We're far from sinless. None of us will stand up in the presence of a holy God. It says that the wages of sin is death. Your own death won't even pay the price of your sin, because you're not a spotless one. There's no way you can atone for your sins. You are destined for wrath apart from Christ. And so Jesus Christ came because he loves you. We are in need of repentance, a change of direction. That's John's message. And that's a decision that we must make that produces a change in our life and thinking. Basically, it's more than just saying, I'm sorry and feeling bad. It's acknowledging you're wrong, and not just doing that, but turning now and following Christ, taking his way of thinking, saying your way is right, help me, and following him. That's repentance. John said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. The fruit of salvation is seen in the changes that begin to take place as a result of your heading that different direction. There's a story in Luke 19 about Zacchaeus. Small man, had to climb up a tree so he could see Jesus. There were just so many pressing around Jesus. He wanted to get a good look, was excited that he was coming through his town of Jericho. And so Zacchaeus climbs the tree, and Jesus, you know the story probably, Jesus looks at him, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm going to come to your house and eat. Oh, what a blessing. One of the most intimate acts of fellowship, this Jesus, this star, this man is going to come, this Messiah. He's going to come, and he's going to come fellowship at my home. What a privilege that was. And so Zacchaeus was so excited, so thrilled. He repented. He even said, if I've taken from anyone, I'm going to give them back fourfold. I'm going to give them back more than I took from them. And Jesus, as a result of seeing all of this going on, he said to everyone, Truly, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus is a new man. He's different. He was blessed. God wants to honor you with His presence every day. You want to schedule a 7 o'clock prayer time? Try to do that with the president. You won't get it. But God Almighty will be there. He wants you to schedule that time. He wants you to want to spend time with Him. And Revelation says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone answers, I will come in. I will dine with him." We always use that as an evangelistic message, but he's actually talking to the church, a church that had sort of shut him out. He says, "Hey, I'm knocking on the door. Let me in. And I'll come in and we'll fellowship. We'll be close. We'll be intimate." He may say that to some of you this morning. You've been a Christian, but you've never followed Christ. Your decisions are your decisions. You just think, okay, since I'm a good person, I kind of got some of the Bible in me. I make good decisions. Lord, be with me. Bless me. But you don't follow Him. You don't depend on Him. God wants to change that. He wants you to follow Him. Some think they're a Christian because of their family. John the Baptist addressed that here. He says, "Hey, don't say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father." Being from a Christian heritage does not make you a Christian. You know, you can be born a Jew, but you can't be born a follower of Christ. You have to choose to follow Him. Some think they're a Christian because they go to church. They may even go to church regularly. But let me ask you something. I don't know how often you may go to Walmart. Let's use Walmart as an example. How often do you go to Walmart? 2-3 times a week? You know, I don't know how many times you go. But as often as you may go, does that make you an employee? No. You are a customer. You frequent as a customer, not as an employee. And there is a big difference. Employees serve. They have that sign. "May I help you?" You go look for, you break something. Oh, wow. "Somebody else clean this up." No, you don't even do that probably, do you? You walk. Get out of here. Get the kids. Move it. That's Walmart. They'll take care of that. No, we're not lying to them. We're not lying. They got employees for that. We just gave them work to do. That's job security. Daddy's not a liar. Don't look at me as a liar. You know, they might make us pay for that. And I didn't do it. You did it. Do you have money for that? We try to get out of there, but not the employee. The employee is left with the mess. They've got to clean it up. Sometimes when they don't find it quick enough, they can get in trouble because you didn't let anyone know about it. Somebody cut their foot now. There's more mess, and sin begets more sin, and it's the employee has to deal with it all. Well, that's the difference of being in and not being in. Being an employee, a team member, and simply a customer. You have to make a commitment. You sign a contract. You have hours that you have to work. You're giving it to the company. You're under the authority of your boss. That's what it means to follow the Lord. You're a team member. You have a boss. You don't just frequent the church. You're part of it. I fear that many Christian churches are filled with customers and not team members. Members of a kingdom. You know, all of this lordship, His being Lord, is practice. Because we're going to the kingdom of heaven, right? In a kingdom, there's a king who rules, who has the right to tell you what to do. In this world, the kingdom of God has come near, meaning that the kingdom of heaven is in operation now. The Lord is ruling and reigning in certain lives. Is He reigning in yours? Do you know Him? Do you trust Him? He's trustworthy. Do you love Him? Because He loves you. Now, Jesus is baptized, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by Him. And John tried to prevent Him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me." But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then He allowed him. When he'd been baptized, Jesus came up immediately and from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice from heaven voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now we want to talk about our position in Christ, which is different than our position apart from Christ. Wrath. But in Christ, heaven. Eternal life. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, he said. Baptism was not for the regular Jew. The regular Jew understood that baptism was for the filthy. Like if you were a Gentile and you wanted to worship the one true living God, you could become what is called a proselyte. There was a, you'd go through circumcision and you'd go through certain other things to cleanse yourself. And one of the things you would do is full immersion. They would actually have to get in privacy, but they would have to go in naked, then come out and then clothe themselves with new clothes, different clothes. And then they would be considered okay to worship in the temple of the Gentile, the court of the Gentiles. They still couldn't come in where the Jews could. But they would be clean enough at least to be called followers. And so baptism was for them. They were filthy. Baptism was also for women, not women every day, but after that time of impurity, they would have to worship God again. They would have to come and they would have to be baptized to cleanse themselves before they were able to go in and worship God in the temple. Also, if you touched a dead body for some reason, that defiled you. And so you would have to go through this rite of baptism or let them burn you. Most chose baptism. So, the Jews didn't see baptism as something necessary for them. But why did Jesus, a Jew, get baptized? Well, for a couple of reasons. One, by his going to John to be baptized, he gave approval to John's ministry. John is the one. John is the forerunner, and Jesus gave approval of that ministry. But he also came to identify with those who he would save. And they were sinners. He set an example, and he took upon him the self, the sins of the world. And so he was baptized saying, in essence, I am dirty, and I need to be cleansed. He wasn't. But he was taking upon himself the sins of the world. And for that reason, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus did everything for us. It's through him that our relationship with God is now restored. If you look at the Trinity, when Jesus is baptized, the Father all of a sudden chimes in. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit chimes in, descending like a dove. All three in one place again. Jesus has been separated, but now they're all here. The picture is that it's this cleansing, it's this washing over by the blood of Christ, repentance and full forgiveness that brings us back into that relationship with God. What is the root of sin? The root of sin is independence from God. Think back to the garden. When Eve was tempted, she was tempted to be independent of God, to make a decision, to make a choice independent of God. You don't have to ask God about this one. In fact, God knows that as soon as you eat of the fruit, you'll be like him. You can decide for yourself right and wrong, good and evil. You won't need him. That was the temptation. And we still eat from that fruit. We still live as though that fruit affects us. It does. Like I can live my life without seeking him. I can make decisions I want to every day. How many decisions do you make in a day? You don't consider the Lord at all in them. Autopilot. I have my moral compass, and if nothing registers on it, I'm just going to keep on trucking. But God has more for you than that. God wants to be a part. See, the enemy doesn't care if you keep on trucking and even take Jesus in the back. He just doesn't want you to follow him. He doesn't want you to seek him, to be very closely connected with him. That's where the power is. And so we are restored in a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our calling now is to plead with others to be reconciled to God. To get in that relationship, to follow him. Yeah, I'm already a Christian. Do you follow Christ? How's your prayer life? Do you know him? Do you read his word? so that you can follow Him. Well, I don't have all that much time, but my walk with Him is between me and Him. You're being deceived. He gave us His Word. Many men have died to preserve His Word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When you're in Christ, heaven is ahead of you. Unless you're in Christ, don't think about heaven. Don't try to picture it. You're not going there. Instead, think about hell. Think about what might await you. Think about how God describes it, where the worm wants to be destroyed but can't be. It's not fun. Satan's not going to go and party it up in hell and be the ringleader. There are levels of punishment, but you know what? Even the worst, the lightest one is hell. You know, it's not like our light duty prisons here. We can still go play golf. You just got to wear the ankle bracelet and you can do all the things. I'm in jail. I'm incarcerated. What'd you do? Well, tax evasion, but I'm rich, so I'm in this clubhouse of a prison. No, no, no. It's all anguish. It's hell. So if that's where you want to go, I offer that to you. You can make that choice. But I think the better choice is heaven, and God wants you to make that choice. Are you bearing the fruit of repentance? The baptism of salvation is with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. Fire purifies. The Holy Spirit enables, empowers, equips, convicts. The fire purifies. Anything that shouldn't be there, it purifies. And if you have nothing in there, like you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved, everything will be destroyed. The baptism of salvation is the Holy Spirit and fire. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, fruit is enabled in your life. You can produce fruit. In fact, you will produce fruit. So fruit is essential in the life of someone who is following Christ. You might say, well, so you're now trying to get me to do things. You want me to do things. Am I supposed to work to heaven? No. Let me tell you what the fruit is. Ephesians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. In that sense, you will be serving the Lord, faithfully serving the Lord. Gentleness, self-control, self-control, self-control. I just talked to those of you who said, well, we can't do all these things. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You can, will you? And then it says, against such there is no law. Why are you as a Christian no longer under law? Why is there no need to follow the law? Because you're going to live a life, as you follow Christ, that is above reproach. I don't mean you're not going to eat shrimp. There's nothing wrong with shrimp. Today, they know how to prepare it. You don't have to worry about that. There were certain dietary laws. Obviously, there are some risks with eating certain things. But we're not talking about dietary laws. We're talking about following Christ and what does it mean to love Him and serve Him. What does that look like? Well, I'm not going to tell you what it looks like. You have to discover that for yourself. You have to ask God what that means. Have you truly decided to follow the Lord? Because you can't get to heaven by good works. You're never good enough, and you can't pay for heaven with your life. So, today is the day of salvation. Repent. Follow the Lord. Begin today. And if you are a Christian, you came forward and you believe you're His, but you have not been following the Lord, today choose to begin following Him. Bear fruit worthy of repentance.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper. I want to know You more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church, then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
But somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.